Is this the legendary Mike?
Is this legendary Sam?
What's up, man?
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Pretty good, pretty good, yeah. Well, thank you for the invite to tonight's session.
Bro, what is this accent? I can't nail it down.
Just let me keep talking and see if you notice anything, like the way that I say water.
I'm kind of surprised you don't know, because Sam is originally from Maryland, but Mike is a big Philly boy.
I mean, water. My dad's from Philly, so I caught that a little bit, but I think maybe the years has softened his accent. It only ever really came out when he was mad, so he would refer to where I slept as my room, but if he was mad at me, go to your room. it was room and roof, where dad's pissed. Everyone be nice to dad. Dad's pissed. That's how you could tell.
What is the thing that you pick up that used to be like attached to a wall that's got a wire and you talk into it? How do you say that word?
Well, he might have crashed out.
Oh yeah, he did. I thought he was just like very still there.
No. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Brews Day Tuesday. I'm Tyler, and our guest this week is Mike. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Yes. Yeah, so we had our third that dropped out, and then Sam's internet dropped out, so it might just be the two of us, but we'll see how it goes.
Okay. Sounds good.
It's always fun to have a new person on. As I said, you know what? I didn't even send the articles because I was waiting for Sam to come back. But that's all right. They don't really matter anyway. As I was saying before the show comes on, the way it works is we'll introduce our beverages and then give some initial tasting notes. So I'll start so you can kind of see the way it goes. I have from Toppling Goliath Brewing Cyber Sioux India Pale Ale. It's 7.2% ABV. Kind of straw colored, very clear, very light head, different size bubbles. Oh yeah. So last week, just a peek behind the curtain, I had Pseudo Sioux, which is a pale ale version of this, I believe. And it smells very similar, kind of like that Dole fruit cup type smell, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Beer like that. That's crazy.
Yeah. So this is reminding me, at least in the nose, a lot of last week's beer.
And what's the name of it again?
Cyber Sioux.
Cyber Sioux.
So it is, it's brewed in collaboration with the Field Museum. And the Field Museum has this T-Rex skeleton named Sioux. And so I guess they have this whole Sioux series, like, to kind of support the museum or whatever.
Oh, but,
hold it. You're saying,
if I've had this correctly, this beer, if you buy it, you're actually supporting a museum?
I think so. It's like, Big Oyster has one for Fort Miles, actually. I don't know if you were working there at that point, but they had one. And yeah, portion of the proceeds went to Fort Miles. So it's something kind of like that.
Why are we not finding a local brewery that wants to... I'm writing this idea down right now.
All right. But yeah, I'm not mad at the series because the last one tasted good and this one also tastes good. It tastes very tropical. Mango, kind of notes in there. Papaya notes, guava notes, all sorts of stuff I like. And also a good bit of hops. A good solid backbone of bitterness. So I like it. I'm happy right off the top.
You always seem to like beers that are like kind of very flavorful, different fruits, different like, and that always seems like tough category to find something that you like. That you can get two different extremes, maybe where you don't have enough flavor or something that's just too much. Uh oh.
Now I dropped out.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I'm back. Yeah, no, I think I do like kind of strong flavors. I mean, there's definitely a place for, like, you know, just like a Pilsner or like an Amber Lager or something like that. But I do like fruity flavors, smoky flavors, that sort of thing. Yeah.
I noticed that by looking through the, like, so you know this, I'm familiar with looking through the beer evaluation spreadsheet. Right. And I noticed that a lot of the highest rated beers for you always have this dimension of a fruit. And I was like, oh, I was like, he really, like, this is his thing, his wheelhouse. Uh-oh, dropped out again.
I don't know what's going on. It's a weird day for, it's not a good showing of the powers of Discord for you, but we'll muddle through it. Tell me, maybe Discord just doesn't want to hear about what I think about beer. It wants to hear what you brought on the show. So what do you have?
Well, this is Dab Dortmunder Aktien Brauerei. Mm-hmm, and it's a lager, and it's 5% ABV, which is, you know, solid.
Is this one of the ones that you gave me?
Yes, this has been evaluated. If I'm correct, you gave this either like 5.5 or a 6.
Okay.
Sorry, go ahead. Oh, God, no, your cat has now decided to enter into the picture.
No, I was just laughing because I'm sure this is like one of your favorites, and I gave it like a 5.5 or something. It's funny how tastes are, you know.
You know what? The way that you put it is to my knowledge and to my memory, which is probably hazy, unlike the beer. It's very clear. Is that this is an eminently drinkable beer? It's just one of those beers that you can sip it, you can drink it, and it doesn't get old. I would call it like a session beer.
Right, right. It's sparking some knowledge or some memories now. Yeah. But what do you give me some thoughts on the taste? You've been sipping this whole time, so what's going on in the palate?
You know, this was the question that I was afraid you were going to ask, and that I feel like a deer in a headlight right now. I don't know how to describe the taste. I really don't.
That's okay. I mean, clean is like a way to describe it. You know, if it's not really leaving anything behind, if it's just kind of like it passes down the gullet and it's nice and cold.
I think that's what makes it really eminently drinkable is that you don't have much of an aftertaste. It's very crisp. It's very clean. It has a full body to it without it like really entering into any kind of a flavor profile. And you're just getting just beer, you know, just like if you want like quality beer, like we've talked about like various, if you go to something like Miller Lite, it's going to taste so watered down, but this is what feels like to me, beer should taste like this. If you're going to have a beer, this should be it.
There's not necessarily a lot of flavor, but there's a lot of like body or fullness.
There's definitely body and fullness, and what I really like about it too is the bubbles are very small. It doesn't really build up a really big head. Although it's not that I don't like, you know, big heads. I do really like when you have something like that. But this, it has that fizz, and what it does is it follows with a fizz, and that's nice. That's what I kind of like about it. Yeah. Now that you've made me think about it.
Well, good. I'm glad you did. Yeah, you got some words out there, you know. I sent over the articles. I don't know how because you're doing this on the phone, so I don't know how well that'll go. But just a little peek behind the curtain. None of us really read the articles that extensively. It's kind of like reacting to the headlines. So we're just going to go with, I don't know, the first one I see here. From APnews.com, Big Brew, Texas Rangers and Bud set a world record with a 12-foot-tall, 600-gallon beer. I guess as part of the America 250 celebration, the Rangers partnered with... Yeah, go ahead.
They couldn't make it 250 gallons?
Yeah, right? That seems like that would make sense. Yeah, that was a missed opportunity, huh?
Yeah.
I guess it's a record for the biggest glass of beer. And so they filled a 12-foot, 600-gallon beer stein. It took about 2 hours to fill the stein, I guess. I don't know. What are your initial thoughts about this, Mike? Give me your reaction.
My reaction is I'm immediately going to the internet because I want to look up 600 gallons and convert it to liters. I want to find out. I don't know why, but I also have this like sense of how much a beer is by liters, like, and doing the conversions. I feel like you should be able to do a lot of those conversions. Like, okay, 12 liter beer, 16.9 ounces, right? To give you a comparison. Yeah. So it's almost like half liter is like a beer and a half, but not quite, right?
Yeah.
So I like to have that kind of context. 600 gallons is like, how do you wrap your head around that?
You're so European, Mike.
Well, you've been there. You know what it's like. Everything's in.
I have. I know.
Oh, my.
I don't know. I'm not.
It's 22. It's almost 2,300 liters. That's insane.
It's a lot of beer.
That's 100. That's like 100 cases or sorry, that like 50 cases of dab. Oh, my God.
Imagine 2 hours of just pouring dab into this giant glass.
Sounds good to me.
I feel like you'd be gross by the end. Like it'd be like warm and flat.
You've got to be in a giant refrigerator to do this correctly.
Right. And they were out in a parking lot, it looks like. So I don't know about that.
Mm. You know what this is reminding me of now? Have you seen Strange Brew?
Strange Brew. Yes, but not for a long time.
Do you remember the end scene?
No.
Oh, he has to drink his way out of the beer tank at the end. I mean, spoiler alert, but he,
like, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. I don't know. I just, this seems very silly to me because it's not really about the beer necessarily. It's more like, can you just make a big ass glass? Like that's kind of the record. You know,
it's literally a glass. You're saying it's literally some kind of a stein container.
Yeah.
Gosh. Okay.
So it seems like the beer is just incidental. It's kind of like the world record is like the biggest beer glass, which somehow seems lamer to me.
Yeah, like a bit contrived, maybe.
Yeah, maybe contrived. I don't know. And also, then what happened?
Oh, it's ugly looking. Well, it's okay looking. Oh, it's to get into the Guinness World Book of Records. Oh. Sorry, I keep interrupting. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, sorry. I'm reading through the article now. 12-foot, 600-gallon beer stein. And it's Budweiser, though. Who's going to drink Budweiser? That's a...
Internet, why are you so bad?
I can hear you. I guess you can't hear me. I don't even know if this is recording our like intermittent.
Samuel, don't worry. Sam will edit out all the weird breaks.
Okay, cool.
Even though he's not on this, he'll still have to deal with it.
Yeah, I can see. God. Like you keep having seizures.
This is so irritating. Yeah. Particularly bad evening for Discord. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, God, there was a previous record, 500 gallons. Oh, so we took it from the United Kingdom. Uh-huh.
I'll be back soon. Maybe you should just talk and I'll react. Mm. Mm-hmm. Stunning.
Good insight. You know,
I don't know about that one. Oh, geez. That's all you got. That's all. Okay, we're back now. This is so painful. Oh my God! But so did you look up a picture?
I looked up the picture. I looked up the previous record. We took it from the United Kingdom. They had 550 gallons.
It's okay, well, you know, USA.
Yeah, USA, Budweiser, but they're owned by InBev, which is a Belgian company. So it's not even really a United States company anymore.
No,
come on.
No, it's just it's some sort of multinational conglomerate. Yeah.
For the sake of the beer record, okay, it's an interesting stunt, but it's contrived. It's just very.
I think I would have preferred if it was like. You know, you have to drink the biggest glass of beer or something like that. That would be fun.
There's got to be a contest where people drink, like, I don't know, a certain amount of beer that they... I've never looked it up. I would have assumed... You guys must have done an episode on that.
The only really kind of, like, drinking endurance stuff we've looked into is the beer mile. Have I told you about the beer mile?
Oh, God. I think you did. What is this? You have to... Tell me again, just so I can...
You run a mile, but every quarter mile, you have to drink a whole beer. Yeah,
Yeah, what, 4 beers in 1 mile?
Correct. And you have to do it as fast as you can. You're allowed to throw up, but every time you throw up, you have to add another...
You're allowed to throw up.
Well, because you don't get disqualified, is what I'm saying. But you just have to add. You have to add another quarter mile every time you throw up.
Sounds like a virtuous cycle for not in the right direction.
Yeah, right. But there are some people out there who do it in like 5 minutes. Like they're almost like at Olympic level, and they're also chugging beer. It's insane.
You're talking about doing a five minute mile, and they're drinking. A beer.
It's wild.
I don't, wow, that's off the wall.
We did it for one episode. I can't remember how many, but it took me like 20 minutes. Yeah.
Now, was that 20 minutes to get through a mile?
I think it was more the mile than the beer, to be honest with you, yes.
Well, you know what? Good for you.
it was rough. I don't recommend doing it. But past that, I don't think we've really looked into any, any endurance drinking events or anything like that.
Come up the mountains with my cousin Jim and I. We've done those. Like I'm not sure if I told you one of our, some of our episodes have been. 18 hours to 20 hours, like where you're just stay up until 8, 9, 10 a.m. the next morning, just going for it, you know, completely. And
I at this point in my life, I don't think I could do that. Good for you for maintaining that drinking shape. But
I must admit that I was doing this like back in probably my early 40s. I'm not sure if I could do it now. That's that kind of. Sooner I'm like, no, I'm headed to bed. You have good luck with that.
for sure. Yeah. Whoosh. All right. Well, let's see what else we got going on here. Oh, well, you know what? Before we jump to that. So did you end up doing anything for 4th of July? I mean, it was the big 250. And I know you left work early because I'm the one who let you. So what'd you get up to? Anything fun?
A little fun. So I went over to the neighbors. I hadn't been over there before. And everybody had already been getting into it. I was kind of late to the game. And I started with I think it was Dogfish Head, Hazy IPA, something like that. Not the tropical, which still, I've got to pick up another pack of that. That was such a good
recommendation. So good, right?
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I kind of moved on to Yingling Lager. I was like, okay, you know, like not bad. And then moved on to Dab and just had some good conversations with a few neighbors. Found out that one neighbor's a writer and we had a lot in common on writing. Yeah, totally cool. And then the other neighbor is just really ill-tempered and she always... she's always tries to do something to aggravate like me in particular. And I never let her do it. I'd never buy into her nonsense. I always just like this time around, I had to redirect to my mom because she started telling me that the card game that we were playing, she's like, Michael, she's like, this card game, this sucks. I'm telling you. And she's got this New York voice accent. And I was like, tell my mom. I'm like, she's the one who lobbied for us to play this. You know, like, tell her. She's like, I'm telling you, you know, like, okay, okay. So that was
incredible.
That was the beginning of it. And then we had like my, so the neighbors, the girls got all tuned up and my mom was a mess and she couldn't pay attention to the game. And all of us, the guys, we're all sitting around the table looking at everybody going, okay, when are we going to get through this? And then at some point, like, we got to just quit this. We got to be done. You know, there's people who are kind of getting impatient and tired.
What were you playing?
We were playing a game, and I thought of you because I was like, I wonder if Tyler knows this one. It's a game from Wizards of the Coast called The Great Dalmoody.
Oh, The Great Dalmoody. I think I've never played it, but I do believe I've seen it around.
It's an excellent game, and you'll love this one. The bang. What is that? Shamalama Ding Dong. Can you read that?
No, I can't see it.
It's the German version. Der große Dalmoody.
That's funny. That's funny.
Yeah, it's a fun game. I highly recommend it, except for when you're drinking with other people who can't pay.
Who are wasted.
Yes, yeah. Wasted. Dewey would say.
Yes. That's fun. I did not really do anything for the 4th. Came home. Yeah, I mean, came home, had a couple beverages, and some folks across the street lit off fireworks, so we watched that. But, you know, that was about it, really.
So a little, like, down, you know, down tone.
Yeah. And then I don't know if it rained down by you, but it was rainy and windy up here.
We got hit with some of that, like, much later. So we kind of, but I guess it was coming north to south. I don't know.
I don't know. But, they were setting up. I did get home late, so it must have been going the other way. I don't know. But because they were setting off, like, sparklers in the streets, and all the sparklers were blowing one way. It was kind of funny to see, you know, it looked like a big tail. But it was,
I guess you didn't have to. Do you have any warnings up there for, like, people setting off fireworks? Because I've just, like, no. Oh, okay. Ah.
What do you mean by warnings? Like it's a no burn time or like what?
Because it was so dry for a while there. Like, I keep hearing warnings about that on NPR.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I probably wouldn't be setting off fireworks, but
yeah,
I don't know. My neighbors were.
Well, it sounds like at least it wasn't, like, you know, too crazy an evening. So you probably had a pretty, like, you were able to not deal with a hangover this morning. I had, I want to say, almost like a minor hangover because I drank the incredibly large amount of 7 beers. And that was too much for me yesterday. So.
Yeah. No, No, that's not true. I do remember the last time I got a hangover. It was at my friend Kevin's bachelor party, and it was like 3 or 4 years ago, and I threw up outside of a sandwich shop.
Tyler! How many? Or was it like just a variety of too many other things? Or
it was just I was putting too much, like, a variety of alcohols and like a variety of foods, and we were up late, and it just wasn't my stomach couldn't handle it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm glad you're still with us.
Me too. All right, let's get to our next article here. Our next article is, well, let's stick with the 250, I guess. From, what is this? Dexerto. I don't know what that is. Budweiser giving away free beer for America's 250th birthday. How to claim? Well, first of all, I don't want to claim. I'm sorry?
Because they have to.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. Well, they literally could not give free Bud to me. I'm not going to take this. I'm not going to bother spending my time to do it.
Yeah, I'd just give it away to somebody else who's poor.
Right, yeah. Yeah. But I guess there started something called America's Tab. And so if you go to the America's Tab webpage, you can enter your information, complete some sort of verification process, and receive a, get this, $6 digital gift card to go towards a Budweiser.
No. Oh, this is wild. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
This reminds me a little bit of how there's all these different, like, loyalty programs, I think, because this, like, sits at probably the interface of social media.
Yeah.
And, you know, promotions. I don't know if you noticed, like, because this is a bit adjacent, but sort of maybe along those lines, Twisted Tea has, like, a contest where you can take a picture of yourself, like, with whatever.
Yeah.
Now, the crazy part is, read the rules of, like, entering. They're wild. It's like, you can't be doing this, you can't be doing that, you can't be. And I'm like, sure. This is exactly all the stuff that people who are drinking Twisted Tea get up to. Like,
you can't do anything twisted. Can't do anything twisted.
Got to be straight tea.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And that was to get, like, your picture on something, wasn't it?
Yep. Get your picture on a bottle of Twisted Tea. Oh
my God. Picture on a bottle of Twisted Tea. I don't know. So they also said they were going to give 1.5 million out of the proceeds from beer bought over the weekend to charity. So, I mean, that's nice, I guess. Can't hate on that.
No, I can't hate on that. And you know, just to be fair, like, July 4th is the busiest drinking holiday of the year, and primarily beer. I think a gallon or volume consumed, I think the only next biggest day is Thanksgiving Eve.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Thanksgiving? That's weird. Well, yeah, I guess you're sitting around just drinking and watching football all day.
I mean, not Thanksgiving Day, Thanksgiving Eve, like the day before.
Oh, that's even weirder. Why not?
Yeah,
that's,
you don't,
I wouldn't
know
expect
that
at all.
You don't know. You not know about this?
No.
Oh my
God. Do people just get absolutely housed on Thanksgiving Eve?
Hammered. Like, my whole family up in Philadelphia, the day before Thanksgiving, like, that night, because Thanksgiving's like a gimme the whole day, because you're like, you're going to eat at whatever, 2-3 o'clock. You're going to start drinking again to get rid of your hangover. Yes.
Thanksgiving is just hangover day. It's just hangover day.
Yes. Exactly.
That's crazy. That's crazy. I couldn't make a whole Thanksgiving meal while hungover. That's nuts.
Yeah, come on. You got to come to Fox Chase in Philadelphia. We'll set you straight.
Bizarro, man. That's crazy.
Dude, it's. I thought this was like a more of a national phenomena from what I. Remember the plural.
It might be.
Yeah. But so that's why I think, like, oh, okay, well, of course, Bud, they're going to, I'm being cynical now, but I mean, that's nice. I can't hate on them contributing 1.5 million to charity, but it is the biggest drinking day. So they are getting.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, like, they could do way more than 1.5 million if they wanted, but I'll take it, I guess. It's better than nothing. And Charlie won 5 million. It's not nothing. You know, it's not nothing to say no to. Oh, boy. I don't think I would. I definitely know I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to take the time to do it. I'm not sure. I feel like $6 is not enough, really, for me to do it for any beer. You know, like, even my favorite beer. If I had to go through and enter my information and get, like, validated or whatever, and it was going to give me $6. I'm not sure I need the six bones.
But it's free beer money. I don't know. I'm looking at the screen now. I'm tempted.
They got you. They got a fish on the line.
Yeah. I it's yeah, it's just, you know, it's me. But Budweiser, you know what, to come back to it, maybe give it a second try to remember why you don't want to make that mistake again. Here you go. Great. This is a great opportunity to bring this up, and I think this is important to bring into these conversations about beer. So my cousin Jim and I was telling you about him. We're up the mountains. One of the times we went up there, apparently one of the beers in the case of Dab that I had brought up, it got punctured. And I hadn't realized it until like I started drinking it. And I was like, oh, I was like, this doesn't taste right at all. But here's the thing. I'm like, I kept tasting it, even though I knew that the beer was like souring, because I was like, oh, it's like terrible. And I'm like, I really want to know what does bad beer taste like? I don't want to forget that.
I would be okay forgetting what bad beer tastes like. That's all right with me.
It's all the experience.
Yeah, and I've had the experience, and I can move past it.
Tell me about your worst beer experience. Is there one?
The worst beer I ever had was, I think, in New Orleans, I believe. And I was there with my family, and we went to some brewery, and they had like a farmhouse aged in gin barrels. And so I had to get it, obviously. But it was disgusting. It was truly the worst beer I've ever had in my life.
Is it farmhouse pale ale or
farmhouse is it's an ale. It's on kind of like the lighter side. The thing that makes it a farmhouse is it has wild yeast. So like traditionally, they would boil the grains and then just like leave it open so the wild yeast could get in there.
No.
And so that's like the key to the style, really. But it was just, the gin was so strong, you know, it was really gross.
That sound, I could see like aging it in any other type of barrel other than gin. That just doesn't seem compatible.
And gin, and even if they were going to do it in gin, like it should have been, I don't know, like something like citric or like fruity or something, you know, like a farmhouse doesn't have any sort of flavor that can stand up to gin. So it was just this is terrible.
That vaguely reminds me of Dewey made this line of beers, like maybe it was 2 or 3 years ago, and they were all based off of that like tart water ice and endless. The tart like taste of and sweetness. I don't know. They just so overwhelmed the beer taste. It was like drinking a carbonated alcoholic version of. And I was like, well, maybe this is the point, but this is terrible. I mean, just terrible.
I know that game. Gross. Super gross. I will truly never forget that beer. Truly. I also had, just the other day, I had did I tell you about the Sam Adams Cherry Bomb that was like viscous?
Yeah, that sounded
bad. That was also very gross. That was very gross.
There should never be beer that is viscous.
It was like, you know, cough medicine or something. It was very bad. But still not as bad as the gin barrel beer. That was truly foul.
Like way back in the day on in Philadelphia, we used to go to it was literally called the six pack store. So we would always hit up the six pack store, and they had a few expensive beers. And when we had kind of like exhausted everything to try, we finally went for the really expensive stuff. We got, I think it was like a bottle, I can't remember, some Sam Adams bottle of hot, really high percentage ABV, like 18 or 20, whatever percent. I can't remember what it's called. Corked beer. Unfortunately, we didn't realize when we bought it, the cork had rotted out. And we were like, well, we spent the money. We're going to drink this. And that was not a good idea. probably, I think, a bit viscous and a bit, blah. Yeah, but, you know, when you drop the money, you feel like you have to justify it somehow, so.
That's rough. That's pretty rough. Yeah, that sounds gross. Ugh. All right, well, we got one more article to do here, and it's from nextglass.co. Next Glass announces divestiture of Beer Advocate. Are you familiar with Beer Advocate?
I've heard of it. Heard of it.
So, Beer Advocate is, they give, like, reviews, news, ratings, yeah. The web, they're a big...
The website I pulled up said, what is Beer Advocate? An online community giving beer consumers and industry professional a voice to learn, share, and advocate.
Yeah, I mean, they're just, they're, I don't know, they're kind of a big voice in the beer community. And I guess Next Glass acquired them at some point, and now they're selling it back to the guy who founded it, Todd Alstrom, which I think is kind of funny.
So, full circle back to the originator?
Yeah, yeah. I guess Next Glass bought it only in 2020, so they've only had it for 6 years. Guess it wasn't going well for them.
Wow. Do you think, does this have anything to do with, like, maybe some kind of a more organic, you know, homespun community that gets bought out by, like, a bigger company trying to profiteer in some way? I mean, I'm kind of going into, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've definitely seen that in the beer world. You know, there was an explosion of craft beers in the, you know, early to mid 2000s, and then they all got bought up and consolidated. I mean, we're still
That happened? Oh, I didn't know that this happened. Oh, that's terrible to hear that.
Yeah, I know. And we're still, I mean, it's still happening, you know. Where was I trying to go with this? So I don't think it's surprising that we see this in, like, industry, you know, beer industry equipment or supplies or, you know, media either. I do think it's interesting that after only 6 years, they're selling it back to the founder. I wonder if, like, the founder felt like he had to sell it, and now he's back on better footing, so he's trying to gain the reins. But I'm not sure. It just seems odd. It seems odd.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder what the valuation was originally that they purchased it at, and if they sold it for a profit or a loss to this, you know, to the founder.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'd get a better sense of that if I wasn't reading the press release from the company that sold it.
You can't do two things at once, or three: drink beer, talk about beer, and read about beer.
I guess not. To be fair, Sam,
somebody you could do so much more.
Sam sent me the articles, and since he's not here, I'm going to blame him.
Oh, so. Okay. Hey, that's under the bus. If you're not here to defend yourself, under the bus.
That's right, under the Ginz bus, because that is his last name.
Ah! How convenient.
Yes. All right, well, I see you poured yourself another beer there. About it at rating times?
Well, actually, this was just the other half of the 16.9-ounce dab can.
Oh, okay. All right.
Does take a little bit more to work through a half liter. Even one of my cousins, Jim, when he, you know, sometimes when he's at a beer, he'll say, "Oh, can I grab one of your dabs?" Sure. And he's like, "Oh, I forgot how big these things are, how long it takes to get through this can." And I'm like, "Yeah, So
yeah,
the burden, carry a big burden."
Yes, that's right. it's you know, it's like going into like a 40 ounce, you know, like a 40 ounce is a commitment. Oh, you know,
dude, you said it, commitment. That's the word. Yeah.
Yeah. You are committing to an evening with that 40.
What 40s have you had? I mean, like, true 40s, like where they were 40 ounces. Can you think of any?
Old English. And then my favorite, I had E40s, E40. So E40 is some kind of rapper out of the Bay Area, and he had his own 40 ounce called E40, and it was very cheap and very strong.
E40. I am writing E40. This down.
E40. I don't know if you can get it out here. I'm not sure. I had that when I was in California.
Well, see what I can do to find it. Mickey's, I still think to this day, I really Mickey's. Think Mickey's, it's very drinkable for what it is. I bought a case a few months ago. I was really pleasantly surprised. Could not believe, like, for a malt liquor, what it, you know, it was in a bottle, granted, and they were the like little beer barrels. I think hold it. Didn't I give you one of those? Has that not yet been reviewed? Did that make it to the show yet?
Oh yeah, I can't remember. Well, I drank it. Whether I drank it on the show or not, I don't remember.
I'm gonna have to buy another case now.
I guess so.
So I was like hoping this is like how I like. Of course, this is how I tried to infiltrate Brews Days Tuesday,
and it worked.
And it worked. You got my foot in the door.
Yep. All right, let's rate these beers. I'm gonna have the last sip of mine here. I had Toppling Goliath's Cyber Sue IPA, 7.2% ABV, and just like Pseudo Sue, this was very good. I like tropical and fruity flavors. I like the kind of, you know, backbone. Yeah, go ahead.
Yo, no, you got me into the tropical IPA from.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So good. So good,
right? Yeah, really good. One of my favorites for sure. But yeah, very tropical. It has a good, you know, solid bitterness running down the middle of it. It's not cloying at the end. I'm going to give it an 8.1. And who would I recommend this to? I don't know. If you're a tropical IPA person, but not a hazy IPA person, I think this would be right up your alley. Yeah.
8.1. That's really high for your rating.
I liked it a lot. I liked it a lot. All right, Mike, you're going to put your first rating on the board. Remind us what you had.
I had a Dab Dortmunder Aktien Brauerei Lager. 5% ABV, very just solid all around beer. These are the reasons that I think this is just a solid beer. It's eminently drinkable. You have just that fizz at the end to finish it. I know we don't really talk about cost. Well, I think about costs when I buy it, but case of Dab, you're going to get 24 half liters for like $28. So you're looking at something like $1.10 for a half liter of beer. 16.9 ounce. That's pretty affordable. And it just tastes like beer should taste like. So your wheelhouse is that these hazy IPAs. And I think I really feel more established in just like, is this a solid like beer that I could drink sitting down for a session? Because that's generally. So I'm going to have to give it. I feel like I can't go up to 8.1. I can't compete with your hazy IPA.
Well, this was definitively not hazy. That's why I liked it, Mike. Not a hazy IPA.
Not hazy. Okay, not hazy. Yeah. Because it's a tropical. Sorry.
Well, so hazies often have tropical tastes to them. But this is a tropical IPA that was not hazy, which is why I think I liked it so much.
So if it's not hazy, does that mean that it's filtered?
It probably is. Yeah, probably is.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to give the Dab a 7. 7 out of 10.
Yeah. Sure. That's up there. Cool. Well, thank you for being on this episode. I know the internet, it didn't work at all for Sam, so I'm glad we got anything out of it, you know?
Yeah, I'm kind of a little. I didn't get to really meet and talk with Sam. Kind of a little.
I
bit
know.
Of
but well, you know, we'll have to the next time. We'll have to get you back on. We'll have to wait for somebody else to drop out, and hopefully, the internet connection will be better.
Yes, I hope so too, and I'm glad to be the replacement for this, and not one of the replacements for the Anna Murray. Remember what happened to replacements on the Anna Murray? The guys.
Yes.
This is one of those things, and I know like we don't have the context for it, but I'll just can I talk about this? The shipwreck story?
Sure.
Okay. So I think like this is super like funny that the guys who mutiny.
It says you can't. Well, you're probably talking about it, but I can't hear you. Keep talking about it. That's fine.
I'll forego. But I'm glad that I'm not a replacement on the Animari. I'm glad that I'm a replacement on Bruce Days Tuesdays. Yeah, you totally froze. Oh god. Okay, it sounds like it looks like you're back. I can see you.
I think so. I think you know what, Mike? I think the internet is telling us something. I think it's telling us we gotta wrap this up. No shipwreck stories for us.
No. Okay, yes, brother.
Thank you for being our replacement, and I have a good weekend. I will see you back at work. Woo, work, woohoo.
Yes, you will, and please, you've got to like let me know like when this goes online, because I have to let all my fans know.
Of course.
You know, on social media, both of my parents actually might want to listen.
We're going to see a huge bump in traffic to the website. I know it.
Okay. Thank you so much, Tyler. I'll see
you. Thank you. Yep. Bye. Here comes a beer. Catch all your tears. Drink the remedy. Forget about your problems. Here comes a shot. Lose all your thoughts. Drink the remedy. Forget about your problems. This one's on me. Fix you for free. Drink the remedy. Forget about everything. This one's on me. Got what you need. Take your medicine. You feel better, friend.
Oh, my God.
Too much fun. Page 500 and fuck off. Oh my god. Oh god, the sticky notes. The proliferation of sticky notes. E40. That is crazy.